Well, good Sunday evening to you all. This is Pastor Joe Wood of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church here in Elkin, North Carolina, coming to you tonight from the Word of God. I pray that you've all had a great day, and we are looking forward to hearing from God's Word tonight. Tonight, I would like to continue speaking about the reaction of David towards Saul's death. So the title of our lesson tonight is Honoring God's Anointed Leader, Part 2. Now, if you recall last week, in a shocking turn of events, we saw a man that did something that many of us, including myself, would have had a hard time doing, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we go any further, I would like to read our passage of Scripture tonight. It comes from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. I'll give you a second just to find your place there. It says, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed before thee. My brother Jonathan, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now that as we've read your word, God, that you would bless the proclamation of your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you recall last week, we saw from verses 1 through 16 that Saul has died, and there's a man that claims to be an Amalekite, and he has come to the camp of David. And as he approaches the camp, he falls on his knees and declares David as the next king. He tells David the word about Saul, and as he does so, he begins to tell some lies. He states that Saul begged him to kill him, and as he begged him to kill him, he says, "I killed Saul," which was a lie. Also, he steals some of Saul's most important materials as well. People mourned over the loss of Saul and Jonathan. and so as they do so, this was a great testament of who David was. People were mourning, especially David was mourning over the loss of his king, but more importantly, I believe his dear brother, Jonathan. Following his mourning, he thought that he would, he inquired to the man about some things, and a shocking turn of events, the man thought that he would be praised for killing Saul. He thought that he would be honored for killing Saul and glorified for killing Saul, but David does the opposite. He states, since the man testified of killing Saul the king, he commanded his men to execute this man, and they do so, as David states. This was a great lesson on always telling the truth and to honor God's chosen person. So now we get down to our passage here in verses 17 through 27, and David continues to mourn the loss of Saul. He continues to mourn the loss of Saul, and he does so in a wonderful manner. David composes a song about Saul and Jonathan, and we find that beautiful lesson here of honoring God's anointed. Well, in verse 17, before I get into the song, David says, he gives a command first in verse 17 to teach the song to the people of Judah. To teach the song to the people of Judah. The Bible says in verse 17, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. So David states here that the song should be taught to the people of Judah, and that it was to be written in the book of Jashar. One commentator wrote that some suggest that the song was sung by soldiers as they practiced using the bow, sung as a motivation to master the weapon so they would not suffer a similar fate as Saul and Jonathan. So David found this to be very important as he desired for the people to know about Saul and to make sure they remembered Saul and Jonathan. I sincerely believe that he was adamant about how important it was for them to be remembered, but also for them to remember how to use their weapons for the betterment of themselves. And so he tells them how important it is. But he shares four things with them that I'd like to share with you at this time. In verse 1, it was like a four stanza song. In verse 1, we see in verses 19 and 20, he talks about the Philistine war. He said, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. So what was he saying here? He was talking about the Philistine war. Saul and Jonathan are referred to here as the beauty of glory or glory of Israel. He was stating that the heroes of that day, Robert D. Burgeon, suggests that the picture is that of a majestic buck on the rugged hills of Israel. So this was a sad time in David's life, and he wanted these men to be remembered. And I'm sure he truly wanted Jonathan, a dear friend, to be remembered, but he also desired for everyone to remember Saul as well. However, there was one problem, and we find that in verse 20, that all the Philistines were rejoicing over the death of Saul, and thus why David said in verse 20 that it shall not be told in Gath or in Ascalon, because these people were celebrating the death of Saul. They had no remorse or respect and didn't deserve to be taught the song. David was suggesting they didn't deserve to know about the death of Saul. They didn't care about the death of Saul. And so David didn't want them to be reminded of how important it was to know how to use weapons and always to be on guard. And thus, he says, may it not be said in Ascalon, or may it not be said in Gath. Then we see the second stanza is in verse 21. And not only does David talk about the Philistine war and to be reminded of the Philistine war, but in verse 21, David says for the second stanza of the song that the battlefield be cursed. Watch verse 21. Ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, let there be no rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. So David purposely and poetically calls for the mountains of Gibeah to be made barren, to never receive rain, nor may it be good land to harvest on. Why? Because he was calling for the land to be cursed, because it did not protect God's anointed in the death of Saul. And so David suggests, may the mountains of Gibeah never receive rain, nor dew be on the ground, so it would become desert, it would become non-fertile, and it would be a place that nothing could harvest on. Then he says in verse 22, not only about this cursed battlefield and the Philistine war, but in verse 22, David praises the family. Verse 22, says, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. So what was David saying here in the stanza 3 of the song? He was saying praise to the family. And he wanted first the Saul's family to be praised. And he says here that from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. So David was saying that we need to remember that Saul's family fought with courage. They fought with everything they had and fought with the courage of a warrior. David was commending the great warriors they were. He was being very kind in his words and testifying to his people the love and compassion he had for the leader, even though they had an extreme rough past. And so he first says they fought with courage. But as he praised the family, not only did they fight with courage, but secondly, they were loved by man. He said Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleased in their lives. That's verse 23. As one wrote, the royal family was to be praised because they were loved and had demonstrated a graciousness in life. And David was basically saying, hate or love him, Saul had a major backing of people. Obviously, through the battle, he lost a lot of his men. But the family was loved because of their leadership. Remember, through the power of God, David defeated the great Philistine army, and it was significant for Saul and his empire. So he was dearly loved as a warrior, a fighter, and a leader of the Israelite people. And so we see here that not only David says they should be praised because they were loved by men, they should be praised because they fought with courage, but thirdly, they should be praised because they stood together as a family unit. It says in verse 23, and in their death, they were not divided. So even though the death of one another, they were displaying their love for one another. Why was Jonathan fighting? He was fighting for his family and their empire. He was fighting also for the love of his father and striving to please his father. Also, the very reason that Saul was desiring to die was because of three of his sons. And also, a lot of his men were dead. He would rather had died than to have to face the Philistines. Thus, he asked the armor bearer to kill him, but he wouldn't do it. And then he took his own life. But we see they fought together. They stood together. They fought with courage. And then David says they are to be remembered because they were swift and strong. They were swift and strong. David praised him in the third stanza for being great and mighty warriors. He said they were more swift than an eagle and they were stronger than a lion. This is a great compliment, especially in this time. If they could be remembered as great warriors, then they would be remembered forever. And I believe that David desired for Saul and Jonathan to be remembered because of his heartfelt song and dedication for it to be spread throughout the land. So in the third stanza of the song, he praised the family. Then finally, in the last portion of the song, he desired for them to remember the family. To remember the family. Verse 24, ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. He says first, remember the prosperity of Saul's kingdom. He was calling out the young ladies of the Israelites to remember the security that Saul and his family brought to them. And also he states, don't forget the nice things that you have, the prosperity that you have been able to live under. He was saying this all comes from the great army of Saul. And so we see here that he says, remember the prosperity of Saul's kingdom. Secondly, we see that he said, remember King Saul. He said, you daughters of Israel, weep over Saul. So he was saying, don't forget Saul. As one wrote, simply put, through the power and the conquest of his military, Saul had provided the people with a stable government and society that enabled them to live in peace and to secure some prosperity. So David, the man that had been running around, striving to stay alive through the constant pressure of Saul, however, he still desired for people to remember the king and what he'd done for them. So he says, remember King Saul. Remember the prosperity of Saul's kingdom. He also said in verse 26, remember my dear friend, Jonathan. He said in verse 26, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. David was weeping at this point for his dear brother, closest friend that he had in the world. He was grieving to know that he would never see Jonathan again while on this earth. But he was saying, please remember my dear friend Jonathan. You know, to an extent, I know how he felt. To lose a close friend is a terrible thing. It is not fun at all, and something that I would not wish upon anyone. To lose someone that you talk to on a day-to-day basis, you spend time with weekly, and you laugh with on a regular, it's very hard. And if you've experienced it, you know how hard it is. And so may we always remember these people and never forget the moments that we had with them. And I believe that was what David was doing. He was desiring them to remember his dear friend Jonathan and never forget the man that he truly was. So I encourage you to do the same if you have lost a dear friend. And David wanted everyone to remember the great man that Jonathan was. Well, as I conclude this passage of Scripture, I would like to read a snippet of what Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible states. Basically, just adding all this up. It said, the major thrust of this Scripture is David's respect and honor for God's anointed ruler, King Saul. Rulers and leaders are to be honored and respected. No matter what position of leadership is held, a minor office in an organization or the highest office of a nation, the leader is to be honored and respected. However, respecting a leader does not mean that he is never opposed. When a leader commits wickedness or simply makes a wrong decision, he is to be corrected. Neither his mistake nor his wicked behavior are to be condoned. We are never to give license to nor indulge corruption, whether simple mistakes or wicked behavior. But while executing justice, discipline, and correction, we are to continue honoring the position of leadership, the office the leader holds. For most offices of leadership are essential for an orderly, peaceful, just, and productive society. Leadership positions must be filled by persons of character and morality, persons who will responsibly execute the duties of the office. End of quote. I pray that you have found this message tonight as a blessing. You have seen how important it is to honor God's anointed leader, no matter what they've done, no matter whatever, but to stand on truth, respect them, and to remember them. That is what David did, and thus we need to do as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you grace.